The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. The traditional family is in decline and on the way out if something isn't done and done quickly. As the family goes, so goes any society and any nation, since the family is the strength of the nation and of the society. In the family is where the really worthwhile things are learned and taught, and the most important choices are made. The biggest cause of the dismantling of any civilization throughout history has always been the destruction of the basic family unit in that civilization. The greatness of any culture or any individual depends to a large extent on the strength of the family, since it is the very cradle of culture. It is the fundamental source of society. As we know, a stream can only rise to the level and output of its source. And our basic source, the family, is simply running dry. The traditional family is simply coming apart. It is in big trouble right now, today. You see signs of it wherever you look, and any thoughtful observer knows this is a fact. For instance, I want to read to you from a report put together by a highly respected and unbiased organization called the Barna Group. This nationwide survey by the Barna Group indicates that Americans have also redefined what it means to do the right thing in their own lives, this report says. It goes on to say this: researchers ask adults which, if any, of 8 behaviors with moral overtones they had engaged in during the past week. The behaviors included exposure to pornography, using profanity in public, gambling, gossiping, engaging in sexual intercourse with someone to whom they were not married, retaliating against someone, getting drunk, and lying. Listen to this. A majority of adults had engaged in at least one of those 8 behaviors during the past week. It goes on to report regarding young adults. One of the most stunning outcomes from the Barna survey was the moral pattern among adults under 25. The younger generation was more than twice as likely as all other adults to engage in behaviors considered morally inappropriate by traditional standards. Their choices made even the baby boomers, never regarded as a paragon of traditional morality, look like moral pillars in comparison. According to George Barna, who directed the survey, the results reflect a significant shift in American life. He goes on to talk about that. Quote, "We are witnessing the development and acceptance of a new moral code in America," said the researcher and author, who has been surveying national trends in faith and morality for more than a quarter of a century. "Mosaics have had little exposure to traditional moral teaching and limited accountability for such behavior." Mosaics is the category of people from ages 18 to 24. The baby busters include ages 25 through 43. The moral code began to disintegrate when the generation before them, the baby busters, pushed the limits that had been challenged by their parents, the baby boomers. The baby boomers include ages 44 to 62. The result is that without much fanfare or visible leadership, the U.S. has created a moral system based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that disturbing and sad? Our society has now shifted in the direction that choices are made and decisions are formulated based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness when it comes to morality. Not based on what is right and what is wrong. Not based on the unshakable standard of the Bible and what you'll find in the Bible, but based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness. In other words, situation ethics. In other words, taking a line of least resistance. Going along with the crowd. Going along to get along. That is now becoming the moral system of the United States of America and other Western countries and even around the world. Continuing, Mr. Barna says, "The consistent deterioration of the Bible as the source of moral truth has led to a nation where people have become independent judges of right and wrong, basing their choices on feelings and circumstances. It is not likely that America will return to a more traditional moral code until the nation experiences significant pain from its moral choices. There will be enormous pain from these wrong moral choices as we move further and further out into the future. It's just inevitable, and it's already happening, frankly. This major shift in morality and values, in the wrong direction, I might add, can be traced directly to the decline and breakdown and breakup of the extended family. God and the Bible are being rapidly left out of the hearth and home. Secularism and selfishness are quickly moving in and filling the vacuum, and tragedy and failure will inevitably be the results of that shift in direction of the moral system of our families and of our culture. History is repeating itself. Go get your Bible and let's look at some of the examples in God's Word about what's underway right now regarding the family, society, and moral decline. I want to start by turning to Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. This book of Judges is a very interesting book. It's a commentary on a society that started out well when they kept God in the picture, but when they pushed him out of the picture, which they quickly did, it began to plunge into immorality, selfish behavior, and ungodly lifestyles. This led to a cascading descent into unhappiness, misery, and horrendous savagery as far as the people in that time are concerned. And we see history repeating itself in that regard. Here was the prevailing attitude of that society then, and it's becoming the prevailing attitude of our society today because of the breakdown of the family. And therefore, there's no authority, direction, and leadership being offered to our young people or to anyone. Notice what it says here in Judges 21 and verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, no leader. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's exactly what this report by the Barna Group made plain. Let me just repeat part of that report to you. Mr. Barna said in that report, quote, "The result is that without much fanfare or visible leadership, the U.S. has created a moral system based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness. The consistent deterioration of the Bible as the source of moral truth has led to a nation where people have become independent judges of right and wrong, basing their choices on feelings and circumstances. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. It's all based on individual opinion. You have your opinion, I have my opinion, he has his opinion, and we'll all do what our opinion dictates. We'll all do what we want to do. We'll do what we think is right. We'll do what we see is the path that we want to take. And therefore, society will continue to fracture. There will continue to be widening gaps and divisions. The family will continue to be dismantled. There's no unity, there's no cohesion, there's no coherence, there's no leadership, there's no right and wrong, there's no final word on conduct and morals. Because God in the Bible is being left totally out of the picture. And we see history repeating itself. Let's see an example of that right over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Let's turn there. Romans 1 and verse 28. Here's what Paul said was taking place in his day about 2,000 years ago. Romans 1, 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or not proper." In other words, I don't care what God says, and I don't care what the Bible teaches. I'm going to do what I want to do, and just push that out of the way and get out of my way. And therefore, we are headed toward a society with little or no morals, because we now see families that are not holding the line on morals and on discipline and on right and on wrong. Now, some are, and good for them. And anytime you see a real happy family, a successful family, one that is brimful and running over with love for one another, whether they know it or not, you see a family that's following the laws of God governing family relationships. And it's so rare now to see a family that is happy and orderly and disciplined that they stand out in public. They stand out in the community. They stand out at gatherings because that's no longer the norm. The norm now is to leave God and the Bible out of the picture. God is no longer the center of the home and the center of individuals' lives. People are even ashamed to talk about God, or they're embarrassed to even refer to the Bible. Not everybody is, and if you aren't, good for you. But many people simply are, and they're just going to go their own way and do their own thing. There's no final authority on truth, on right and wrong, good and bad. Do this, it'll work out. Don't do that, because it won't work out. What can be done to reverse this widespread and unbridled rush to ruin and disaster? What can you do? What can I do? Are we just going to be swept up in it? Are we just going to stand by and watch a quote-unquote train wreck of families and of our society take place? Or will we do something about it? Well, it starts with each individual and then spreads out from there. That is the only way this out-of-control breakdown of the family can be brought under control and turned around and headed in the right direction. It starts with the individual. Now, an excellent example of that is found over here in the book of Joshua. Let's turn there. Look at what this outstanding leader said in his day about his family. He said here in Joshua 24 and verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Eternal and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." Are you ashamed to do that? I'm not ashamed to do it. We don't have to push it down anybody's throat. We don't have to corner anybody and browbeat them with it. We don't have to create an embarrassing, awkward situation when talking about it. We can simply decide in our home and in our lives, we're going to stand in awe of God and serve Him with sincerity and in truth. And we're going to let our light shine so that people know that's exactly what's taking place. And they see the fruits that come out of that. And they will be good fruits in our lives and in the lives of our family. But we have to decide to do it. Do we have the courage, the fortitude, and frankly, the gumption to make that choice? Joshua did, and so can we. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Eternal." You might say, well, we don't have the gods from Egypt. Yeah, we do. We have idols, human idols, and idols made out of stuff and things. And they get in the way of our relationship with God, and they begin to be who and what we serve instead of serving God. Just like it was back then. Verse 15, Joshua 24, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Eternal," and to some it does seem evil, or it seems boring, or it seems unnecessary, "and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And here's the crux of the matter. Joshua said this. This is what you and I have to say, and then back it up with action. And then things will turn around in our lives and in our family, and it'll spread to other families. It may not sweep the nation, but our families will be happy, and those that follow this example will be happy. We don't have to just stand by and watch disaster unfold and be victimized by it. We can do something about it in our lives and in the lives of our family and our home. All we have to do is take a look at this, agree with it, develop it further, and put it into action. Here's what Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Eternal." Starting with himself, he said, "As for me," and then he went on to say, "and my house, my family, we will serve the Eternal." In other words, what we need to do is put the Bible back out on the coffee table and refer to it often. Open it up. Gather your family around and begin reading from sections of it, and let them read from sections of it, and discuss it, and be happy to do so. You will find the keys to success, peace of mind, joy, and happiness, and living life to the full, individually and as a family, if you will do that. Begin to introduce values and standards that are clean and pure and right into the home and into the family. Do it around the table and at mealtime. Do it while you are sitting and having a good, hearty discussion about this, that, and the other topic. When you're at work, when you're traveling. It doesn't have to be railing and Bible thumping and browbeating. No, it shouldn't be that. Just a give and take, good, hearty, thorough, intelligent discussion about what works and what doesn't work, and about God's way and what the Bible says, and about how you can tread your way through this labyrinth of immorality and disgusting actions and not take part in it. God will help you do that if you decide to do that. Those are the kind of discussions you can start having between you and your wife and between parents and children and children and children. And if you do that, they'll pick up on it and you'll see changes start to take place because you are introducing the true values and the standards that really work, which are right and good and clean and pure, right into your home and right into your family. Start doing things that are worthwhile and profitable and really achieve results and good results and success. And do them together as a family. And don't be shy or ashamed to implement this change that you have decided to take in your life and in the life of your household, this change taking you in the right direction. Set out to reestablish unity in the house, with the father leading the way and setting the example, and the mother supporting the father and setting the example of working together as a team, and the children then being taught to respect authority and appreciating the proper use of authority in the home and in the family. Now, all of this will take time. It will take patience. You'll have to be determined and committed to this outstanding shift in the right direction in your home. Why be caught up in the shift in the wrong direction in our moral standards and codes and systems? Why not develop the right morals and standards in your life and in your home and make that shift in the right direction? You'll be glad if you do that. And if you stick to it, you will begin to see order and peace rise out of the chaos and the disjointed drift and pulling apart and pulling away from each other, now underway in so many families and so many households. You don't have to be a part of that. You can decide to go in a different direction, in a direction that brings unity and happiness and health and joy and love and enthusiasm and fulfillment. It's all there waiting for you, right in God's Word. And you put the Bible in the center of the home and ask God to come in and be the center of your family, you'll see what I'm talking about. This tremendous principle of cause and effect will begin to be brought to bear. As you start to do the right thing in your family and keep at it, good success will start to happen. If you continue to do the wrong thing or do nothing at all, failure and unhappiness will continue to grow and spread, and your family will end up becoming dysfunctional. What a tragedy. How sad if you allow that to happen. How sad if I allow it to happen. Well, I'm not going to. I'm determined to live life the way God wants us to live life and enjoy the fruits and blessings of living life that way. David described the dynamic family life that is available to each and every one of us if we're willing to put God and His ways back into the heart of our home. I'd like for you to read that. Let's turn over here to Psalms chapter 128 and verse 1. What a beautiful chapter about the family that God inspired David to record. Psalms 128 and verse 1. He says, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Eternal, that walks in His ways." That doesn't mean we're scared of God. That doesn't mean that we are afraid He's going to get us. It's actually the opposite. When you read about the fear of God in the Bible, it means you love God, you respect God, you stand in awe of God, you revere Him, you worship Him, you serve Him and obey Him, you submit and surrender to Him cheerfully and joyfully, knowing that wonderful things come out of that attitude. So that's what he means here when he says, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Eternal, that walks in His ways." Then he goes on to tell us what happens when we do that, as an individual and as a household and a family. Notice verse 2, Psalms 128. "For you shall eat the labor of your hands." In other words, the fruit of the labor. Cause and effect. Whatever you sow, you reap. You sow good things and a lot of it, you reap good things and a lot of it. You sow bad things in a lot of it, you reap bad things in a lot of it. Laws are in play here. You can't get around them. They don't change. You get in line with the laws of God governing the family and the marriage and husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and children, you get in line with those laws and blessings just keep on coming. You break those laws, trouble just keeps on mounting. That's the way it is. That's what's happening in our society, and that's what's happening in the families of our nation. But it doesn't have to happen to us if we will heed and obey and diligently and relentlessly and irrepressibly implement God's words in our lives. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands is the proper translation. This is God saying this now. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Now, who doesn't want to live life in a way that's happy and where things go well? I do, you do, everybody does. We want peace, and we want health, and we want happiness and challenges. We want to go places and meet people and do things that are good and rewarding and profitable. And we should want all those things, and we can have all of them. We want our children to grow up as healthy, hearty young men and women who can really work and play and produce and achieve and do things that are worthwhile and helpful, not only to them, but to others. That can take place. We don't want misery and suffering and hatred and tension. We don't want confrontation and heartache and unhappiness and despair and hopelessness. Who wants that? Nobody does. But that's what comes from not obeying God and serving Him and following what He says in His Word in our families, in our household, in our marriages, and in our lives. So why buy into that wrong way of life, which is pure propaganda, and you see it wherever you look, and it's indoctrination that's being promulgated by people who don't know what they're talking about? You got to be careful who you listen to. You can be led in the wrong way. Listen to God, listen to His Word. Then you'll always be led in the right way. And happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Notice verse 3. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. A better translation is in the heart of the house. She's fulfilled. She's able to really have her full potential blossom in every direction. She is creative. She's innovative. She's a wonderful mother, a wonderful wife. She's a wonderful neighbor and friend. Her life is full of achievement and success in so many different areas that are available. But she's there with her husband and there with her children and there guiding the home in her responsibilities and in her area of expertise. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. Your children like olive plants round about your table, not off by themselves, cloistered away in a corner with the lights out looking at a computer screen and drinking in of who knows what. Probably not good things. But out in the light with a whole family in animated discussion and happy activities and making plans to go places and do things that are worthwhile and good. That kind of child. One that is responsive and bright and laughs a lot and participates in discussions and responds to direction. You can have children like that. God has shown how to bring that about if we'll just listen to Him and if we'll look into it diligently and seriously. Your children shall be like olive plants round about your table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Eternal. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, or bless you wherever you live. The principle is the same. And you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life, or the good of your household and of your family all the days of your life. Verse 6, yea, you shall see your children's children, in other words, your grandchildren, and peace upon Israel, or peace upon your household and upon your family. The principle is the same. Now, this might seem like an impossible dream to you. It may seem like it's totally out of reach, but it isn't. And when you start out in this direction, you're going to hit obstacles and you're going to have setbacks. Don't give up. Just start going in the right direction when it comes to your life and your household, according to what God says. Ask Him to help you, and He will, and then you'll start making progress. It'll be slow at first, but little by little, it'll pick up momentum and speed. And when you run into roadblocks, you'll figure out a way to get around that. and then keep going. And when you stumble off the path, get up and brush yourself off and get back on the path and keep on going. And before you know it, you're going to realize good things are starting to happen here. Good progress is being made. We're getting back to the traditional family unit that used to be widespread in our nation. We're getting back where we need to be, living life to the full and as a family unit and enjoying every minute of it. And our children are now being equipped for a very happy life. And they then will live this same life that we're teaching them to live now. Now, that's one of the most worthwhile things anybody can do with their life, is to live their life in a way that sets the example for their children. And because you are making the sacrifices and putting in the time and exerting the effort to do that, your children will then grow up and go further and higher than you have. And that's what every loving parent wants to see. And it starts right there in the home and right there in the family. And when we follow what we've read here and what we've talked about and what we've ended up with in Psalms 128, you'll see the results promised. It says it right here in verse 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears or stands in awe of God. Verse 5. The Lord shall bless you. You shall see good all the days of your life. You shall see your children's children in peace, and so on, to paraphrase it. Peace in the family and home among your friends and in the community, and who knows where it goes from there. The wider the circle, the better. But if it doesn't go any wider, at least you're doing your part to see it happen in your home and in your family, and that's a very good thing and wonderful use of your time and talent. This peace, this success, this happiness will be ours once again if we get back to God and His ways as the way of life we follow every day, day in and day out, from now on, right on out into the future. Come what may. We have more material on the family and family life, which we'll be glad to send you by return mail. It's all free. There's no charge or obligation on your part. All you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317 and ask for our free literature and CDs about the family. Also, request our magazine Straightforward. This is the magazine that goes into many different aspects of family life and of Christianity and of biblical doctrine and current events in the light of prophecy and much more. You don't want to miss out on this magazine. It's free. There's no follow-up. There's no charge. There's no obligation. We're glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Just ask for Straightforward Magazine by calling 1-800-581-1317. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.